All right, I want to talk to you today about speaking the language of heaven. I'm happy about this message. Psalm 34, verse 1. It's on your sheet. I will praise the Lord at all times. What if you made that your goal? What if you made that your goal? It's like, I am going to keep myself in a mindset of praise at all times, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then he says, I will constantly speak his praises. What if it was your goal that you were constantly speaking his praises? That in your conversations, even just the everyday conversations, you were just looking for opportunities to say one cool thing about God. One cool thing that God is doing in your life. Just said, God, I want my mouth to be a fountain of life. And everywhere I go, I'm just gushing the praises of God everywhere. What if we were speaking the praises of God in such a way? It comes from an overflow of our heart. What if we were speaking the praises that was like every time somebody came to a conversation with you and they would leave that conversation more impressed with Jesus than before they talked to you because of something that you said? I will praise the Lord at all times. How many of you enjoyed the 24 hours of worship that we've been doing every Friday this month? Okay. The Bible commands us to praise the Lord. That's on your sheet. The Bible commands us to praise the Lord. I actually read this. I don't know if it's true. I've not personally counted it up. But I read somewhere that like 250 times it's commanded in the Bible to praise the Lord. So in the Bible, 250 times it says praise the Lord. That's where I read somewhere. But I know it's a lot, so it wouldn't surprise me if it was at least that. But think about that. That's a command. That's not, how many of you know commands aren't optional upon the mood of your day? Yeah? You don't decide, do not commit adultery. It's like, you know what, today I'm just kind of feeling like committing adultery, having a hard day. You don't do that. You obey that command. I don't care what you feel like. You guys with me? And it's do not lie. Do not kill. I just feel like killing this person today. Right? It doesn't matter what you feel. You obey the command. Are you with me? Well, listen, the command to praise the Lord isn't like, man, I feel happy about God today. You know, when you feel happy, sing songs of praise. That's what James says. But you know what? When you don't feel happy, the command is still there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord at all times. It's like, I want to obey this. God, help me not to be a complainer. Help me to be one who just speaks of your goodness, whether I feel it or not. The Bible commands us to praise the Lord. Praise is the language of heaven. That's my opinion. And the reason I say that is because whenever you get a glimpse, you know, in Bible, in Revelation, many times in the book of Revelation and other places, we get this sneak peek into heaven. And probably almost every single time, the Bible gives us a little snapshot of what's happening in heaven. There's praises happening constantly. When you're in an environment where everybody sees God, and they see his beauty and his glory, it's the most natural thing in the world that they just are praising him constantly. In fact, the ones who are around his throne and they never leave, you know what they do all the time? Psalm 34, 1. They praise him continually. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. They're just constantly seeing his beauty. And it's not this forced thing. It's instinctive. When you see the beauty of God and who he is, it's the most natural thing in the world to just praise erupts out of your innermost being. The Holy Spirit teaches us, when you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. And because you realize Jesus is God's Son. He died for me. He rose from the dead and he's coming again. He calls me to leave my sin and live for him. I say, yes, I'm going to live for him. You get born again. The Spirit comes inside of you. You know what? As soon as the Spirit comes to live inside of you, he teaches you the language of heaven instinctively. It's instinctive. We learn how to praise and worship, but it's instinctive when we're born again. You know what's amazing to me? Even a natural baby, that baby comes out of the womb, and that baby has never had classes ever. Never had classes on how to cry. But you know what? It just does it. It just starts doing it because God made it that way. It's instinct. They just start making noise. But you know what else is amazing about a baby? No one's ever taught them how to eat. But they know. Instantly, they come out of the womb and they're nursing at their mother's breast and they're eating. It's instinctive. It's absolutely instinctive. And you know what I found? When you're born again, it is instinctive to praise the Lord. He's so good. He's so amazing. I remember the day I got saved, June 9th, 1993, I was at a youth service. And I was in there, and I was like, Jesus, I commit my life to live for you. I believe you're God. I'm going to live for you from now on. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And these people prayed with me. And when I felt the presence of God come into me, I literally felt him. Tangible presence. I could feel the moment he came into me. And you know what? I felt his love. And I knew, you're so real. You're so real. That was the first thought that came to my mind. And do you know, I just started speaking in tongues. I started speaking in tongues. And you know what I did right after that when I spoke in English again? I started worshiping God. I had my hands up in the air. Probably, I think it was the first time in my life I'd ever done that. I'd been in churches before, but I'd never actually put my hands in the air and worship the Lord. I just did it. Why? It's instinctive. I'm a new creation. God is real to me. I see how wonderful he is. It's instinctive to say, I love you. You're amazing. I worship you. I remember after that, I'd test it out. Because I found out in that moment when I got born again, I praised the Lord. And I felt the love of God. I could feel the tangible presence of God. I was like, huh, this is cool. I remember that was a Wednesday night. Sunday came, 4 days later. I go to church, and I'm going to test this out again because I'm like, hey, that was my first time praising God. Now things are different. When I go to church, I'm not just going because I have to. I'm going to worship. And I remember getting there and doing the same thing. I'm like, let's try this again. I put my hands in the air, and I'd sing the songs to the Lord, and I'd worship. And I'd feel his presence again. I'm like, this is working. I got this formula now. And I remember I'd be driving in my car, driving down the road in my car. And even to be honest with you, at first, sometimes I'd be listening to music that was bad music. I was listening to, because it was a few months later when God convicted me about what I listened to. But I didn't realize that at the time because I was a new baby in the Lord. And I would be listening to this music, jamming out to whatever it was. And then I'd be like, you know what? I feel like worshiping Jesus. Why do I suddenly feel like worshiping him? Holy Spirit's in me is why. So I turn off the radio and I remember just driving to my car and I just sing the few worship songs I knew. And you know what happened? His presence came into the car again. I'm like, wow, this works everywhere. I can praise him at all times. And he is with me at all times. And God shows up where people praise him. I began to learn that. I remember a couple years later, as a newly married man, I'm in Bible college. I'm ready to go into ministry, but I'm hungry for more of God. I want a fresh touch of God in my life. And I hear about this revival happening at Brownsville Assembly of God in Pensacola, Florida. My wife and I go there. And I remember it was a Sunday morning service. I was in church, and I was dressed really nice. I thought I looked so good that day. I had on a really good outfit that I liked a lot. Two pleats. That used to be the style. It wasn't that long ago that I got rid of my two pleat pants. And my wife would kind of tease me because it was already out of style, she said. But I'd wear them anyway. I make a joke. I'm like, I am the style. It's like, whatever I do is, anyway, is a joke. So, I'm there, and I'm dressed up. I got my shirt tucked in. I'm like dressed up. I'm looking nice. And I remember the pastor, Pastor Kilpatrick, he gets up there, and he's preaching on praising the Lord. And it was one of those messages where He was so full of praise, he couldn't stop himself. He'd be in the middle of preaching on praising the Lord, and he'd just stop, start running back and forth across the platform, shouting praises to the Lord. And the whole place, you know, 1,000, however many people are in there, just jump up and they're shouting praises to God. That would go on a few minutes, and then we'd settle down. Everybody would sit again, and he'd keep preaching for a few minutes until it erupted again, and it'd go on for a few minutes, and then it settled down. And that happened several times throughout the message. There was such an atmosphere of praise in that room. It was such an atmosphere of praise. Of course, I love Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit. I'm sucked up in it. I'm like, if you're going for it, I'm going for it with you. And I'm jumping up, hallelujah. I'm like, yes, Lord. I'm jumping up and down. And by the time that sermon finished, I'm sweaty. My shirt, like half of it's still tucked in. The other half is untucked from doing this. And I'm not looking that good, but there is like fire on the inside of me. I mean, the Holy Spirit fire. I feel his presence. And I'm like, wow, something, I didn't realize it, but something got imparted to me in the course of that message while I was praising the Lord. And I remember I went, after the service, I went back to my house. I was staying actually with my mom. My mom's here, by the way. Praise the Lord. This is my mom. I'm going to raise your hand real quick. Cindy Lawrence, I love her. She's a wonderful mother. I'm so happy she's here. So she was living down close to there, and we were leaving the next day to go back to Missouri where I lived. So I'm trying to hang out and spend time with my mom, but I'm so filled with praise. It's like a compulsion. I have to restrain myself not to break out in singing and shouting. And I'm there, and I remember we're talking, and I'd hold myself as long as I could. And then I'd be like, oh, you know, yeah, I'll be right back. And I went up to the room that I was staying in, and I shut the door, and I just like, ah, and I let it out. You know, I just praised him for like 5 minutes. I was jumping. I was like shouting as loud as I could. And I was like, God, I love you. I was just bursting with praise. And I was like, whew. And I went back down for another 30 minutes or so. And after another 30, 45 minutes, I'd be like, yeah, I'll be right back. And I go back. I did the same thing. I was just bursting with praise. You know what happens? Every time you have a fresh encounter with God, it's instinctive to praise him. Because it's the language of heaven. When you have a fresh encounter with God, you are seeing and feeling, experiencing how wonderful he is in a fresh way. It's the most normal thing to say, God, I love you. You're amazing. I was so full of praise. I go back home to Missouri, and it won't leave. I just keep praising him and praising him and praising him and praising him. I remember Autumn and I, we went downtown in the city we lived in, Springfield, Missouri, because we needed to buy a new washer or dryer or something like that because we were newlyweds. And we go downtown, we're going to the store because there's a cheap store downtown. And so we're going in there. And as we're walking into the store, I see somebody on the other side of the street and I feel like I need to go share the gospel with them. So I told her, I said, you go into the store, I'll be there in just a little bit. And she knows what's happening. So I go to the other side of the street. I share the gospel. I try to share the gospel with the guy, and he's like, ah, whatever. Nothing really happens. I'm like, huh, well, oh, well, I obeyed. And then as I'm coming back across the street again to the store, I see somebody else walking. I thought, well, I'll share the gospel with them. So I did. And it was kind of going okay. We talked a little bit, but nothing major happened. But after I finished talking to him, he leaves, and I'm standing there, and I notice about 15 feet away, there's a guy leaning against his car that was parked at the curb. And he had been listening to our entire conversation. He's just looking at me. And I'm like, okay. And so we start talking. And he is backslidden. And he knew that he needed to follow Jesus. He even wanted to follow Jesus. But he had this pornography addiction. He's like, this thing's got me. This pornography addiction. I was like, you can be free. And I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I am filled with praise. So I just go, he's like, yes, I want to be free. I said, let's pray. The Spirit can fill you and change you. So we start praying, and guess what happens? On the curb in downtown Springfield, Missouri, Holy Spirit comes. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit. He starts shouting. Now we're downtown outside on the street. Buildings all around. The shouts are echoing off the buildings. You know, he's just like, praise God. I didn't tell him to do that. I didn't tell him to. I'm just praying. And all of a sudden, he gets really happy because the Spirit fills him. And it's instinctive. When you get filled with the Spirit and you experience the goodness of God, you praise him. It's the most normal thing in the world. People think it's weird on earth because they don't know God. But in heaven, everybody's like, oh yeah, that's what we all do. Now you're catching up to us. You're becoming normal. You're praising the Lord like you were meant to. You're experiencing the goodness of God. And he's jumping up and down, literally dancing on the street. And I'm just like, hey, if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it. So I'm dancing with him. I'm shouting, the two of us together, looking like fools for Jesus, but the happiest people on the whole block, I promise you that. And we're shouting and giving glory to God. Why? Because it's the most normal thing to praise him when you experience his goodness. It's interesting to me. Jesus dies on the cross. 3 days later, he's risen from the dead. Over the course of 40 days, he appears to his disciples and teaches them about the kingdom of God and instructs them about their commission. Go and make disciples. He says, guess what's going to happen? Little bit, I'm going away. But right after that, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he's going to fill you. And then you're going to be my witnesses. And so he tells them, so don't leave Jerusalem and go to all the nations yet. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come. So they're good disciples. What do good disciples do? They obey. So they're waiting. They watch Jesus ascend. They're waiting for 10 days. They don't know when the Holy Spirit's going to come. They just know it's going to come. They don't know it's going to be on day 10. But they're just waiting. What did they do while they were waiting? Guess what they did? Luke 24. Then they worshiped him after they saw him ascend and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And guess what they did? They stayed continually at the temple doing what? Yeah, praising God. Finally, on the day of Pentecost, they're all in one room. They all get filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do instinctively as soon as they get filled with the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 2, I have it on your sheet. I won't read the whole scripture. But they get filled with the Holy Spirit. They start speaking in other languages that they'd never learned before. The Holy Spirit is prophesying through them in other languages, supernaturally in other tongues. What are they saying in these other languages? Well, the people from many different nations who were gathered around listening to them, they're going, this is amazing. These people are from Galilee. We're from all these surrounding nations, speak totally different languages than these guys. And we hear them talking in our language, not just one language, many languages from many different nations. You can read it in the scripture. I have it on your sheet. Many languages being spoken. Well, what is the Holy Spirit saying through them in other languages? It says in verse 11, it says, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages. What's that? They're praising God. What do? They're waiting, they're praising. Then they have another encounter with the Holy Spirit. They already love Jesus, but they get another encounter with the Holy Spirit, and they praise him more, and they begin to prophesy and tell of his wonders, how wonderful he is, how amazing he is, in languages other people could understand. I think because praise is the language of heaven. I want to give you 7 ways to express praise to God. And I want to encourage you, the reason I'm teaching on this today is because I want us as a church, I want us to be intentional about stepping into praise as a lifestyle. And we do that intentionally. And then we get encounters with God and it becomes instinctive, right? But then there's moments when we're not feeling God very much. And what do? We praise him. Because I will praise him how often? All times, that's right. So 7 ways that you can express praise to God. There's probably more than this, but this is the 7 I wrote down. You can praise God through singing or speaking. You can sing a song that, you know, that's, there's so many worship songs that are written. We sing them here all the time. But you can sing a song like that. It is, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. So you can sing a song that's written. There's so many wonderful worship songs written. But you know what you can do? You can also, you can sing a new song to the Lord. A new song, what that really means is it's a new song. It's something you're making up on the spot. And usually it's just you and Jesus who are there anyway, so it doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to rhyme, okay? It doesn't have to rhyme. Is there a prayer in your heart? Instead of saying it, put a tune to it and sing it in a song. That's it. It's as simple as that. I remember one morning, this is a few months ago, I had been reading about believers in Syria who are giving their all, losing their lives for Jesus. And I was so inspired. I'm like, God, I want to love you with everything, with my whole heart, like these guys are doing in Syria. And that prayer was in my heart. God, how do I do that? Show me how to do that. And I remember the next morning, I put it to a song. And I just said, how can I love you with my whole heart? How can I love you with my whole heart? And I just, and I felt the presence of God when I'd sing it. So I kept saying it, same phrase, over and over. I just kept singing it. And every time I'd sing it again, there'd just be this fresh release of his presence on my heart. And what was I doing? I was singing a new song to the Lord. And the Psalms tell us to do that. Sing a new song to the Lord. Like, it doesn't have to be pretty. You don't have to edit the thing, so it's not going to be on the radio. It's you and God. You just sing your song. It doesn't. You can be off tune. It cannot rhyme. It doesn't matter. Because God, what you're doing, though, is sometimes when you put a tune to it, there's an anointing that God has put on music. And sometimes just by a prayer that's in your heart, putting a tune to it, it touches your heart in a fresh way. And of course, you can just speak praises to God too. God, you don't have to sing it. You can say, God, I love you. I love you. You're amazing to me. My favorite phrase to say to the Lord is, I love you. My guess is I've said that to him more than any other thing in my whole life. I say that all the time. I love you. I just want you to know right now, hey, I know, I just say right now as I'm preaching, I'm not just talking. He's here. Right now he's looking at me. He's listening to me. I love you. Father, I love you. He's alive. He's real. It matters. I love you. Just need to know, I love you. So you can sing or speak your praises to God. Another way you can express praise to God is by lifting your hands. Everybody put your hands up in the air. Yeah. Now say this, God, I love you. God, I praise you. I give you glory. Yeah. Lifting your hands. The Psalms tell us, you can put your hands down if you want. But the Psalms tell us, lift up your hands to the Lord and give him praise. You know what? If the Bible says it, do it. Yeah? Just do it. It's like, man, what are people thinking? Probably nothing, to be honest. It's all in your head. Like, seriously. Like, so many people. I remember I was so nervous that first Sunday morning after that I told you about at the beginning of this message. And I was there and I was so excited to come and praise God. And I wanted to do that thing that I just did on Wednesday night again. I wanted to repeat that same encounter. I'm like, let's do this all the time, God. I like this. And so, but I remember being nervous as worship started. I'm like, okay, I know what to do. I did this on the other night. But I remember thinking, like, all these people weren't here on Wednesday night at the youth meeting. And they're going to, and I remember thinking, like, all these people are being like, oh, stop. Everybody stop singing. Look, Jeff. Look at Jeff. His hands, he's singing. He's singing. His hands are up. He's never, ever done this before. I mean, that's what it felt like. I felt like the spotlight was on me. But you know what? It was all in my head. Nobody was thinking about me. Everybody was worshiping Jesus. But sometimes we get so magnified in our own minds, don't we? And the devil plays on that fear. And I remember what I learned a lesson on that day. I'm a new baby, and I instinctively learned a new lesson. You don't yield to the fear of man. If it's right, You put your hands up, you praise the Lord. So I did it. I felt God. I was happy. Yeah, so lifting up your hands is an important way. I encourage you to do all of these. Number three, shouting. Shouting praises to God. Everybody say this. Praise God. Shout it.
Praise God.
All right, let's do it again. Let's shout it. God, I love you.
God,
you're amazing.
You're amazing.
See, that's good to shout. It's good to shout to the Lord. You know, in the Bible, you see people who are shouting praises to God. You know why they're shouting? You know what you do when you shout? Is there is excitement and faith that's bubbling up on the inside of you that you can't just let it seep out. It has to burst. It has to burst. And you say, God, you're amazing. Sometimes, oh, you're so amazing, just doesn't do what you're feeling. And you know what? There's other times we shout ourselves into a place of faith. And sometimes, you know, I'm not feeling God. I'm feeling overwhelmed by the enemy. And I just feel like, man, I feel heaviness. I feel all this kind of stuff. And I'll just say, Lord, I praise you. Today is a day of victory. This is your day. This is your day of victory. By the time I go to bed tonight, this day is going to be recorded in heaven. The memorial is going to be had in the courts of the Lord. This was your day of victory in my life. And just shout the victory. Shout the victory. I really encourage shouting. It's really good. Shout praises to God. You won't scare him. Praise you. Whoa. Just joking. You won't drown out the noise in heaven. Shout to God. Number four, you can express praise by dancing. Okay, everybody stand up. This is practice today. Everybody stand up. Now, if you're like, I just can't move very good, I can't dance, you can do your form of it. You can just kind of do this. You know, sometimes the sway is radical for people. It's like, oh, I swayed for God today. Today. You can do this, you know, take a step back and forth. You know, whatever you want to do. But, and, you know, if you got more energy, you could do more. But dance before the Lord. The Bible actually commands us to dance before him. Do you know that? And so I encourage you to do this right now in your own way. You can shut your eyes if you want to and pretend nobody's here. Remember what I just said? Not everybody's watching. Yeah, there you go. It's just you and Lord. So what I want you to do is just dance before the Lord. God, you're good. God, you're good. You can do it in your own way. You don't have to do it like me. I just dance the way I want to dance. But go ahead and dance. You can do the sway. Lord, you are good. 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 I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. So go ahead, do it. Start dancing. Start moving. Don't watch me anymore. I'm just going to give you a minute. Just on your own. Just get into a place of praise and dance before the Lord. You can do the sway. You can do whatever you want. So dance, 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 dance before the Lord. You can go ahead and be seated. So we got the singing, the speaking, lifting our hands, shouting, working on the dancing. I, guys, there is power released when you dance before the Lord. Sometimes you'll get breakthroughs. And letting it out and dancing before the Lord, it will just break things open for you in experiencing God. And so I encourage you to do this. And if you're like, man, I feel funny when I'm here in front of everybody, do it at home. Do it when you're alone. I don't really care if you do it in front of people or not, because it's not, that doesn't matter. What matters is you're doing it before him. And it says in the Bible, Psalm 150, different places, 149, I think, it talks about dancing before the Lord. David danced before the Lord with all his might. Why? Because he's really, really happy. You know, picture, why do we dance before God? You know, what does a guy do back in the 1918 whenevers, when they had gold fever in the United States, and everybody's going to California, and they're digging, and they're digging, and they're digging, and they strike gold. And they start, woo, right? Yes, life is going to be good now. I found what I wanted. You know, how much more when we find God? Life is going to be good now. I found the treasure that lasts forever, not just a temporary treasure, a treasure that lasts forever. I know God. And we just start dancing. It's happiness before the Lord. You know, in heaven, there's dancing. All of us are going to be dancing. And you know, it's not awkward at all in heaven. People just dance and nobody's like checking out your moves. I'll tell you this. This is the truth. When I was in middle school, high school, and they had the dances, I was never one of the guys who was out there doing fast dancing. I'd do the slow dancing because that's easy. But the fast dancing, there was usually a handful of guys who were really good dancers, and at least at my school. And they would get out there and take the floor, and everybody would stand in a circle around them and watch them because they were fun to watch. They were really good. They had really sweet moves. But I was never one of those guys, ever. I hated fast dancing. I felt like I look like a white guy. I just look like a person who has no rhythm at all. But when I came to know the Lord, and I remember having this encounter with God at Brownsville, and after that, I was like, something got, fear of man got broken off of me. And I was just like, I like to dance before him. So now when I feel like dancing, I just dance. A lot of times, it's a slow song. It's not even a fast song with a good rhythm to dance. It doesn't matter. When I feel that joy, I just like, I'm going to dance because that's what I feel like doing. And there's a freedom, there's a liberty that comes in that. I encourage you to press into that in your own walk with the Lord, dancing before the Lord. Number five, you can express praise to God by bowing before the Lord. Bowing before the Lord. You see this in Scripture. It's reverence, isn't it? It's reverence and it's honor. It's getting on your knees before the Lord and worshiping him. You can lay down. You can do it any way you want. It's not the form. It's what's happening in the heart that matters. But there is something about physically yielding yourself in surrender, getting your body into praising the Lord. There really is something about it. I want to praise him with all of me, not just my spirit and my soul. I want to praise him with my body. He gave me a body. It's for his glory. I might as well use it. He gave me a mouth. I might as well sing his praise. He gave me hands. I better lift them up in the air. He gave me feet. I might as well dance. You with me? So bowing before the Lord. Number six, you can express praise by speaking or singing in tongues. And we looked at this in Scripture. They were declaring the wonders of God in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You can do that too. In fact, I'd say I pray in tongues almost constantly. I mean, so it's such a normal part of my life. I love to sing in tongues before the Lord. You know what the difference between singing in tongues and speaking in tongues is? A tune. So I can go, Komarie tele messia, haria lekoto doria, and I'm speaking. Or I can go, Halamantiare nenia nanama seva yo balamane. I just make up a tune. But you can worship the Lord in your tongues as well as you can pray prayers of intercession, prayers of petition. You're crying out to God, but then you also worship him. When we're singing in the Spirit, there are many times we're just worshiping and expressing praise to God in other languages. So I encourage you to do that. Number seven ways to express praise to God. You can do it by testifying of God's goodness. Now that's conversational. That's conversational. So you know when this morning Rose, you know, she had a testimony. She was like, man, you know, I wasn't feeling that good last night. She goes, and I prayed, you know what, God, I'm standing on your promises. I pray that you would touch me and you would heal me. She goes, I went to bed and I didn't cough all night long, and I woke up and I feel better and it hasn't bothered me. And she was testifying of God's goodness to me. Do you know what that was? In conversation to me, she was expressing praise to God as her healer. She was saying, I praise you, God, because you're my healer and you're faithful to answer my prayers. That's what she said in a testimony. Every time you testify of God, you're actually praising him, just doing it in conversation with others. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians, sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord. And then it talks about in our conversations, you know, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's like, what? Speaking to one another in spiritual songs. Stand, God is so good. He's amazing. I mean, can you imagine? It's like a musical. Heaven's going to be awesome. Seriously. Like, don't you just, sometimes I watch musicals and I'm like, dude, heaven's going to be amazing. Or you got these like things that has kind of been a fad the last several years, but these spontaneous, what are they called? Flash mob things, where they just sing. Like, there's one that you can watch on YouTube, and it's this really great choir, and they're in Macy's, or before Thanksgiving or Christmas, somewhere like that, and it's pre-planned, it's spontaneous, they know what's happening. It's probably hundreds of choir members in ordinary clothing, just stationed around the store, acting like shoppers. Nobody knows what's going wrong, or what's going on. And then at the exact moment they had planned, all of a sudden, all of them start singing the Hallelujah chorus. It's an amazing video. And the other shoppers who don't know what's going on, they're just, all of a sudden, there's like hundreds of people just singing praise. What is the Hallelujah chorus? I forget, I'm going blank right now. Hallelujah. 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 Hundreds just bursting it out in the middle of Macy's. And people are just looking around like, what is going on? I'm like, and then you see others that who are believers. You can tell they're believers. And when they hear it, you know what's instinctive? You know what they start doing? They're just like, whew. I'm like, yeah. I get it. I think in heaven, honestly, there's going to be so many spontaneous praise and worship gatherings where the Spirit of God is just rocking people all over the place. I think parks are just going to have people all over the grass, just laughing, rolling around, worshiping, shouting and dancing, angels. I mean, I think that stuff is going to happen. It's going to be the funnest, freest place of praise you could ever imagine. Testify of God's goodness. Okay. Well, now I have a decision to make. I could end here and pray. I should end here. Here's my problem. Is if I had time, I was like, I could just read through a little bit of Isaiah 40. And because it's really amazing, majestic passage of scripture that describes these attributes of God that are amazing. And I remember I was reading Isaiah 40 in the Black Hills on a camping trip. It was a gorgeous sunny day. Everybody had left except me. And so I was at the camp spot. Sun is up. I'm surrounded by mountains, reading my Bible outside on a lawn chair. And I'm just reading Isaiah 40. And it talks about the majesty of God in creation. And it says things like, who knows the weight of the earth? The answer, nobody except God. And it was this thought, I'm like, picture the globe. It's suspended, you know, there's gravity, there's all this kind of stuff. I'm not a scientist. But do you know that the planet has an exact number of pounds? If you could weigh it, it has an exact weight to the decimal. And God knows the exact weight of the earth. That's what God is saying. He's like, yeah, who knows this? He's describing his majesty for us. He's like, I know the weight of the earth. He's like, I created the oceans and I marked off their boundaries and I measure them with my hand. I mean, think of the ocean. It takes a long time. You know, I fly over to Europe. That's just the Atlantic Ocean that I'm flying over. It takes hours, hours. I don't like that flight usually. I don't like sitting on planes. But it's like 7, 8, 10 hours, you know, depending on where you're going, just getting over the Atlantic Ocean. And that's not the Pacific and the Indian Ocean and all these other, the Caribbean, all these places. And God's like, yeah, I measure them with my fingers. And he says, and I put the oceans in a reservoir. What's a reservoir? You know, it's a man-made body of water that's little, you know? So we build little fences and we build this little pool kind of thing. We call it a reservoir and it gets filled with water and that's our thing. God's like, oh yeah, that's like for me, that's the ocean. God's like, I put its boundaries. I built these boundaries. I said, you know, it says in Job 38 or 39, he says, when I created it, I spoke to the waves of the ocean and I said, this far will you come and no further. Why doesn't it come any further? Because it's obeying Jesus. It's under command. It's not allowed to. He says in Job 38, 39, he says, hey, can you untie the cords that bind Orion together? Talking about the constellations, the stars. You know, you look up and you see the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. Do you know hundreds and hundreds of years ago, people who were here were looking at the exact same stars, and they were in the exact same formation. How do they stay there? God's like, they're there because I put them there, and they do what I say. Human beings are the only ones who don't obey. It's the greatness of our God. And then it says this in Job 38 and 39. He's like, I hold Orion together. You know, and all these, I tell the oceans, you go this far and no further. And he's just like, man, he's so grand. He's enormous. He's the Milky Way and the galaxies. It's like they're there at his word. At his word, because he spoke them to being. Psalm 33 says, he merely spoke and the earth appeared. It's like, it was not, and then he said, let it be, poof, there it is. Like, what? Words, they don't even, it's air being released out of our mouth, and sound, how does that create physical matter? That's the glory of our God. He's huge. He makes sure that all the planets and everything is rotating properly in the galaxies and the solar systems and the oceans and the wind and the weather patterns that go all over the earth. And we're just trying to measure them. You know, we got our little radars and stuff. He's governing over all these huge things. And yet, in the midst of that, in Job 38, 39, somewhere in there, right as he says, I do all this great stuff, then he says, hey, who makes sure when that little, when that baby bird is crying out to its mother for food in the nest. You know, you picture that little robin in the nest. Doesn't even have feathers yet. Meow, meow. You know, it's making its noise. Eyes are closed. It doesn't even see. It's crying out to its mom, give me food. And the mom comes with the worm and gives it food. You guys with me? God says, when that little bird is crying out, he's like, I make sure that it gets fed. It's like, I make sure, okay, mom, here's a worm. Go take it to your baby. Here's some for you too. Like, if God listens to the prayer of a baby bird, how powerful does that make your prayers? And we talked last week, Jesus says, why are you worried about what you're going to eat? Especially the ravens, the birds, I feed them, and aren't you more valuable than a sparrow? I got this thing, trust me. I'm like, how, God, do you, seem pretty busy to me. I mean, holding Orion together and all this stuff, you know, making sure it's all rotating. I mean, do you know if I'm not a scientist. I don't pretend to be, and I don't even have a desire to be. But if the way the planets are aligned and the rotation and how far the earth is from the sun. I mean, it's so exact. And I've heard this, like if it were to be just a little bit further away from the sun, the whole planet would freeze. If it were a little bit closer, everything would burn up. God keeps at this precise, huge things. That's a big responsibility. Make sure everybody on earth doesn't die because I accidentally let the earth get too close to the sun. But yet at the same time, he is attentive to detail. You take not even the sparrow. Not even the sparrow. He goes unfed. He hears their cry and he makes sure they get what they need. This is our God. I mean, there's so much to worship him for. He's huge and he's great. He's massive. He's majestic and he's kind and he's tender and he's close and he's intimate and he's personal. He's real. It's the most normal thing in the world when you experience him. It's the most instinctive thing in the world to express praise. I want to encourage you, don't stifle that instinct. You know, when you feel God and you're like, oh, and you just want to praise, and then the devil comes and he says, oh, people are going to think you're weird. You're just trying to draw attention to yourself. On and on and on. You know, you don't listen to the devil. It's the God instinct in you to praise him. Go with it. Go with it, and it will release more into your life. So I'm going to invite everybody to stand with me. I want to, can we put on a praise song, Alex? Like, do we have the song Ever Be by Bethel Music? Your praise will ever be on my lips. Why don't you get that queued up? And while he's finding that and getting it queued up, I should have told you earlier, sorry. Sound men are heroes. Thank you, Alex. What we're going to do is we're just going to play this song, and I want us to worship and just express praise to God. You can do it however you want to do it. Just do it to the Lord. I believe that even as I was preaching, that some of you were already receiving an impartation of the Holy Spirit. And you're feeling that in you. You're feeling that like ball of fire that I told you about. I was feeling like, I just got to praise him. I want to encourage you, let it go. Release it. Praise him. Others of you, as you worship him, there's going to be an impartation of the Holy Spirit you're going to receive. And he's going to put it in you in a stronger way. So I encourage you to give expression to the worship that's in your heart. So let's just turn the music up. After we're done, I'll come back up and I'll close us out. So let's just turn it really loud. Like a vow that is tested. A little louder. Like a covenant of old. And your love is enduring. A little louder. Through the winter rain and beyond the horizon. With mercy for today. Be on my lips, ever be on my lips. just want to pray a blessing over you. All right, is this on? Thank you, Alex. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless every person here. Father, let us receive an impartation, a fresh impartation, filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us feel your presence on the inside. Stir up praise within our hearts. Stir up passion for God within us. Stir up this fiery zeal. God, this excitement and joy about the wonder of our God, the beauty of who you are. Stir it up, Father. God, release it into us in Jesus' name. And I just pray that you would just stir up worship, stir up praise. Let your praise continually be in our mouths and in our hearts. God, even when we're at work and we can't sing out loud, Father, let the song be brewing in our heart, God, in our mind, just going through our mind, just loving Jesus, feeling your presence, and nobody even knows it except you and us. But God, we love you. Impart it right now, God. We ask for a fresh impartation over everyone here, even this week, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Jeff, did you have a blessing? All right, why don't you come on up? I asked Jeff to do this. I'm so proud of you, Jeff and Sarah. Jeff is, I trust you so much. Like, you are a man of godly character. Like, you really, really are. I see it in your life so clear. And I'm so proud of you. Him and Sarah are stepping out. And they just feel like God's led them to go into business on their own. They've done it. And so they're there. They're on this path. It's this walk of faith. And it's going to be blessed. It's going to be successful. So, because you honor the Lord. So I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Luke 12:35. Be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Yes, Lord Jesus, I thank you for that scripture. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we go this week, Lord, that you give us the dress that we are to put on for life, Lord, and to serve you and to worship you, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that in verse 36, like servants waiting their master, Lord God, that we patiently wait, Lord, for you and for you only. And as you come, and when you come and knock on our hearts, Lord, that we can open for you, that we are ready. Just the example of the 10 wise virgins, parable of the 10 virgins, or the 5 that were ready, Lord. Lord, let our hearts be ready for you when you come and knock, Lord. And I pray this week, Lord, that you give us wisdom, Lord, give us grace to live out our walk with you, Lord God. And I pray that blessing over everybody here, Lord. I pray that every person in this room feels you this week, Lord, and can walk with you and have victory in anything they need victory in. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.